Thanks for downloading a 3CR podcast. 3CR is an independent community radio station based in Melbourne, Australia. We need your financial support to keep going. Go to www.3cr.org.au for more information and to donate online. Now stay tuned for your 3CR podcast.
Welcome to Local Food Connections, a show about the power of locally grown food to connect us more strongly with our communities and the lands we inhabit. The show promotes sustainable food systems that foster community resilience and empower individuals to make positive choices for themselves, their communities and the environment. Local Food Connections is brought to you by Local Food Connect. We're broadcasting from Wurundjeri country and pay our respects to elders past, present and emerging. We respect the enduring strength of First Nations people and acknowledge their long heritage of agriculture and care for the land on which we live. On the this morning show, I'm joined again by Joe Nemeth, and I wanted to talk to Joe again because I felt, and perhaps you did too, that half an hour really wasn't long enough to get to the bottom of living in this highly monetized economy without money, which she has been doing. Is it 9 years, Joe?
It's 10 and a half years.
10 and a half years. So Joe is a great example of someone who did empower herself to make positive choices. That I think in the last episode we talked about how she's able to serve the community by the choice to live without money, and also feels more comfortable with the, excuse me, we'll be editing. More comfortable with the lower impact that she's had on the environment, which was one of the main motivators for living in this way. But you can go back to that episode if you want to look into all the whys. Today I want to talk a little bit more about the intriguing hows, because when I got off the interview last time, I was telling my husband how wonderful it was, and he said, but what if she wants to go to the dentist? So those kind of questions are probably in people's minds. So do you want to start with that dentistry question and then we'll move on?
I want to start with, because it is probably the weakest link. And just actually, I just calculated in my head, it's 11 and a half years, not 10 and a half.
Okay.
I started properly living without money at Easter time, around Easter time in 2015. But anyway, the dentist, yeah, look, my teeth aren't good, which is a problem. And I think if I stop living without money, it will be because of my teeth or some health related issue, at which point I'll be scrambling to find out if, you know, to make a bit of money somehow. I don't think it'll be too hard, actually, because people have offered me money to, you know, do garden work or, you know, even, you know, I'm going to advise a woman soon on her garden, just advice. And she's going to donate money to the community garden in exchange, which is nice. But yeah, so dentistry. So when I first decided to do this, I was working for an NGO, and part of that allowed me to salary sacrifice. And I knew that my teeth needed some work. So I was salary sacrificing into a dentist's bank account, which I had arranged with them, which is an unusual arrangement to
yes.
start with, but they were up for it. So I had credit with this dentist. And I think I had about like $1,500 credit by the time I started living without money, and I just used that credit up over the first year and a half of living without money. And I mean, so I don't know, some people will say, well, that's not living without money, so, you know, that's an open question there. But yeah, so I had some credit to start with, and then recently I've had some work done through the community dentist. So, you know, so doing this kind of experiment, living without money, is something that I can do because I live in Australia and because I live in a privilege. I come from a privileged country and a privileged background, and I'm so aware of that and so grateful for the fact that I have that opportunity. And I'm hoping that by using Well, I think we talked about this last time, but using that privilege to do some good in the world by not making things worse for people and trying to make things better in my community. So yes, I have used the community dentist recently.
You can go to the dental hospital too, can't you, in most places? How
We
does
don't
that work?
have one here, but in cities, I think, yeah, that's an
Yes.
option. I know that my parents have done that in Brisbane, yeah.
Oh, look, I'm always tempted to go for those big questions again. I wanted to talk about the how, and I'm thinking I want to make the point that we all have to live in the historical era that we're in, and we're entitled to use the advantages of that. There's different we have different opportunities depending on when we live in the world. And
It's about using it, not abusing it. And I like to try and do good. You know, a lot of us and your listeners will be trying to do good in their worlds wherever they are. And I mean, if you know, digging deeper, I mean, I could go and earn money and go to a dentist and pay, but in earning money, I think I would be doing more harm long term, bigger picture. Because of, you know, probably the need for a car, and then I'd have to pay rent on the house I'm living in, and I'd have to get, you know, I wouldn't be able to do the garden stuff. I wouldn't be able to experiment with local foods. I wouldn't be able to volunteer at the community garden. Like, it's just this whole,
Cascade.
dominoes of the things. And so that, you know, so then I really feel for people who are living with money and do have to have to navigate those challenges every day. And I used to do that myself, and I found it so stressful. It's not an easy way to live.
That's so interesting. So your way of living is actually easier. It's
Yeah.
also interesting that you're open to you're calling it an experiment. And it's a very worthy experiment, isn't it? So it doesn't mean that you're going to die rather than put your hands on money or something.
Yeah, exactly. It's you taking it one day as a one day at a time, and well, one year at a time, and you know, we'll see. And it'll probably come to an end, and not through my choice though, because I really like living this way. But if I have to go and see a specialist or pay money for a dentist, then I'm gonna have to start earning money somehow.
What other than the dentistry, can you talk about other things that, especially at the beginning, were hard to give up, and what things have been surprisingly easy to give up? Not that it's necessarily a giving up, but
There's a guy. I mean, I've heard it said sacrifice. Sacrifice is an interesting thing. If you look at sacrifice as a hardship, yeah, fair enough. But you can look at sacrifice as giving up something in the short term to gain something in the long term. I really like that way of looking at sacrifice, and I feel like that's what I'm doing. But although none of it's really felt like much of a sacrifice, it's felt like giving up stuff that I really didn't like or enjoy anyway, like working and driving and, you know, just the stress of that lifestyle and having to pay bills and, you know, just I've given that up, which has been such a relief. And I've managed to find ways of living now that helps, you know, makes life easier for me, but also helps other people more. Whereas before, when I was in the world of, you know, working and trying to make ends meet and make a living, in inverted commas, I didn't have time to, you know, when you're chasing your tail, you don't have time to really do much more other than chase your tail. It's when you can free yourself up in whatever way that is, and you can do community. So that's what I'm doing, is trying to help my community more. At the moment, that's mostly through volunteering at the community garden.
So there hasn't been a moment when you've looked in the shop window and said, "Oh, I really want that food processor or some."
No, there has not that I can remember. I mean, there's times when I've wanted junk food.
Oh, just a quick
Fix, because
food.
when I lived with money, I mean, I didn't have much disposable income, and what I used to spend my extra $2.50 or whatever on was maybe a packet of chips or a chocolate, you know. When I first gave up money, and I was living out of town, but so it didn't seem much different. But when I came into town, I'd be walking down the street, and it felt surreal, because I knew that I just couldn't pop into a shop and, you know, get a cuppa or buy a chocolate. You know, the things that were kind of second nature to me, that were automatic almost, I had to now stop and go, hang on a minute, you can't do that anymore. You've completely taken that choice away. Which felt really strange, but in a freeing way, like not in a bad way.
So what does
The
that
other
look like? Sorry, what does that look like right now then? So So you walk down a street now and you don't feel like having a coffee or a chocolate.
No, like that's completely gone now. I got over that relatively quickly. But now it's different because now I'm living in this regular household with a bunch of people who do earn money, who have money, who live with money. So we navigate that. We navigate that as best we can, and we do a reasonably good job. But for example, so my friend Sharon, my fantastic, wonderful friend Sharon, we've known each other for 29 years. She's the homeowner, and she goes out to work in her career because she loves it, and she wants to be. That's how she serves her community, and through the local theatre. So, kind of me being here supports her to do that because she doesn't have to do the cooking and the clothes washing and stuff. But anyway, so she has said to me on a number of occasions, Joe, if you need anything, just tell me, you know. And like a few years back, she even said, look, Joe, I'm going to put like a little bit of like pocket money in the tin here in the corner, and that's for buying plants and garden stuff if you need it. I haven't used it. I haven't done that because that just felt really strange. But she's very generous like that. And she would totally be okay with me spending, you know, $20, $30 a week on garden related stuff. But I'm really trying not to because the whole idea of living without money is to reduce my consumption of resources. It's not even about money so much as resource. So even using someone else's money, I'm trying to minimize the use of resources. I'm not going to buy stuff if I don't, unless I really, really need to. So I try to help the whole household here to resist buying new stuff as much as possible. We've just made a decision to buy grain for the chickens, which I've held off for ages because I've just been using waste food and scraps from the kitchen, and I really don't like the idea of buying grain for the chickens. But
In a big
we
plastic bag.
yeah in a big plastic bag from an industrial food system that I'm trying to not support, you know, and like is and cost benefit, you know, it's like it kind of does my head in a bit. But we made a decision as the three of us in the house here who are eating the eggs to buy a big bag of grain, you know. So it's like every decision kind of seems to be come down to what's the resource use here, is it really necessary, who's going to pay and in what way, whether that's financial or what we call blood money, you know, the unspoken costs behind things.
So what do you do? Tell me about your food. What food do you eat?
So the food is a real mishmash of different things. There's my contribution is like waste food. I get waste food from different sources, a couple of which I'm not going to talk about. But I also get food from the community garden, and I grow food here. And I've got a kind of reputation among my friends now. If they've got food that they don't need or want anymore, they'll ask me first before they'll dispose of it.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that's a good
Yeah,
idea.
and so yeah, there's one friend in particular. I'll go to her house, you know, at least once a year, and she'll load me up with all the stuff from her cupboards.
Out of the pantry. What a good idea. You're doing an amazing service here to
And like if I need tea, like I'm the only person in this household who drinks tea, like regular black tea. And so no one's going to buy that for me, and I don't want anyone buying that for me. So I have to source that myself. And so I just put a call out on Facebook and say, hey, friends, have you got any tea in the back of your cupboard that you have no intention of ever using? You bought it or someone gave it to you and you don't, and you're never going to use it. Could I please have it? And I did that about 3 or 4 months ago, and I got lots of tea that will last me for at least 6 months.
Well, I
I
could
even
presume I've got so much tea in my cupboard because I don't drink tea, but it's a common sort of a gift that people might give.
Exactly. Yes. We even had someone drop off a gift of tea, left it on our front veranda a few days ago, and no note. We don't know who it was, a mystery donation of tea. So we're assuming it's for me, but it might not be. I can't be bringing it because no one else drinks it. But I even had a woman, when I put out that call, I even had one of my followers, I think on Instagram, lovely woman from the Blue Mountains, I think it was, or somewhere down south, who sent me tea in the post. And normally I don't like the idea of, you know, the flight, you know,
Yes, the carbon miles.
but also living in the gift economy like this, you've got to just accept that people want a gift to you, give you gifts, and at most of the time, you kind of got to say yes, you know.
And you've built up all that goodwill.
It's part
So,
of living in the gift, you know, being accepting and open of gifts when they.
I'm reminded of the monks that just go out with a begging bowl and get the rice that they need for the day from households.
So apart from the stuff that I bring in, the household here do buy some food, but we're trying to minimize the amount of food that is bought, and definitely the amount of food that comes from the evil empire, I call it, the moles and bullies, the big supermarkets. So they
Moles and bullies.
that's a David Holmgren permaculture co-founder. He calls them
Right.
moles. We try to support them as little as possible. So we've really minimized what gets bought from them. And then,
Do you
we
manage to get a little bit of their surplus by any means? Is
kind
that
of.
what you didn't want to talk about? Okay,
Yeah, kind of. Yeah,
we'll
no.
leave that. That's all right.
We
We
do
can
get a
leave.
little bit of their excess waste food. There is also, what was I going to say? We're also really tuned in here to our local kind of gift exchange economy. There's a crop swap that we attend. There's a free market that I go to. There's just people, just friends and family, and we do swapping and exchanging and gifting of food all the time. It's really common now in our world. And
No, it
we've
is.
really, yeah, and a lot of people, it's really growing, and that's living in the gift economy, and I love it. I love that
Yeah, I
so
think
much.
it's growing too.
Yeah.
If you want to hear us slam the atomic industry, then tune into the Radioactive Show on 3CR, 10 a.m. Saturdays.
Wildlife Victoria is a non-profit emergency response service committed to assisting wildlife in need across Victoria. Our trained and dedicated volunteers rescue and rehabilitate sick, injured and orphaned animals so they can be released back to their native habitat. If you see wildlife that may need our help, please contact us on 8400 7300. To donate or register to become a volunteer, hop onto our website at wildlifevictoria.org.au.
A 3CR supporter.
Here's this question that everyone always asks about these things. If everyone tried to live as you do, what would need to change in society for it to work at scale? That's another big. I've gone for the big question again, but what are your answer to that? Have you had that question before?
Not as succinctly, but yes. Usually people say, well, everyone couldn't live this way. And that's true. We currently live in a capitalist, globalized economic disaster of a system. It's a violent, horrible way to be, I think. And it's not working the way it is, clearly, because we're killing off our life support system. So if people just suddenly decided to live like me, it would collapse. And it's arguably, is that a bad thing? I don't know. And I certainly don't expect people to just drop everything and start living without money. That's not something I've ever suggested to anyone. What I like people to think about is their consumption of resources, especially people, I'm talking to people with disposable income. Like, because that's where the damage is done. We have to meet our basic daily needs, and a lot of people don't have any extra income and can even barely even reach their basic daily needs, right? So it's the people who have more than that who then go and, buy and consume above and beyond what their needs are. That's I would like people in that situation to think more carefully about their consumption of resources. But it's very acceptable in our culture. In fact, our economic system is driven by that, by the people consuming for more than their basic needs, right? So as the current system stands, it wouldn't work. The current system needs to change, obviously. Or maybe I should be telling people to start living without money. Maybe we should be trying to collapse our current economic system. It's going to collapse anyway in the not too distant future.
Yeah, again, I think that comes back again to that you and I right now are in this historical period. We're not responsible. We can't predict what's going to be like 10 years after our death. We've got no idea where this is going. It does look like it is collapsing, or it's going to have to fundamentally change, and we don't know how it's going to look. So, we do what we can where we are with what we've got.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
This is a Local Food Connection show on 3CR. Excuse me. This is a Local Food Connection show on 3CR 855 kilohertz on your AM radio dial and 3CR on digital radio. You can visit the 3CR website and listen to the live streaming of the show. And you can go to the 3CR Local Food Connections website and listen to the podcasts, including the first conversation Jo and I had together about the motivation for her to stop living with money, which she's been doing for 11 and a half years. Jo, what have we got? We've got about 10 minutes left. How is your understanding of No, I've gone. That's another big picture. I've gone for the big picture questions. What about changes in your beliefs over the last
11 years.
decade?
We touched on that last time, I think, as well. The big change I've made is becoming collapse aware. And so I do believe that we are in a state of collapse globally. There's
Has that
very
become more obvious to you from the outside than it was when you were inside the
Well,
system?
so when I started living this way, I was not aware at all. So I started living this way. When I started living this way, like 11 years ago, 11 and a half, 12 years ago, I was reading lots of stuff about how violent and destructive our economic system was. And so I wanted to not be engaging in that as much as possible. But I hadn't kind of got to the point where I realized that our violent, destructive economic system is actually causing collapse. That only came relatively recently, maybe. Oh, no, that's not true. It came fairly early on, and I read the Bill McKibben book Earth. That was a real eye-opener. And then I went through a stage of climate grief. But I think moving in with Sharon and the family here has been a real eye-opener, because when I moved in here, I had high hopes that we would change and that we would be this amazing demonstration of how to live, without fossil fuels or very few fossil fuels. And, I was very naive, I guess. And that hasn't happened for various reasons. And so, but that has led me to understand that we're not going to make the changes that we need to make as a community, as a culture, as a society. It's not going to happen. It's not happening, and it's not likely to happen unless it's under duress, unless we're
Yeah, I
forced to change.
think, yeah.
So that then leads me to, oh, well, then in that case, we're going to continue with the status quo, and the status quo is killing our life support system. So we are in a state of collapse. So that's been the big trajectory for me over the last 11, 12 years.
So let's go back to that where you got the realization that living in this household, good intentions, and everything that you're still relying on fossil fuels. So are we talking for cooking and air conditioning and stuff like that, or what are we talking about?
I think that our household, compared to most regular Australian households, does live a lot with a lot lower resource use, because I'm kind of here and I'm mostly in doing that kind of stuff. So when Sharon bought the house, she put solar panels on straight away. So there is a solar setup. That's a whole other story about solar and wind and whether or not that's actually, it's not the answer. It's if everybody had solar and wind, which is what we're aiming for, it's still going to be unsustainable. Like we all have to completely reduce our consumption is the only answer. But anyway, so in this household, because when I moved in, then we stopped using air conditioning. We haven't put the air conditioning on in 8, 9 years. So we actively manage the cooling and the heating of the house. I cook on the electricity when the sun is shining. Sometimes if I have to, I'll cook on a bit of wood. We've got a wood heater inside. We've also got a wood-fired pizza oven, and we're going to build a rocket stove soon, which will just use sticks. So that's like more of a long-term way of cooking, because even though electricity seems like the answer, it's actually, to produce the electricity, whether it's through solar or through the grid, is a massive system that has all sorts of downsides. So cooking on a few sticks is probably a better answer. But, things like that, like we just, my role here, being actively engaged in the management of the resource use in the household, means that we have reduced the consumption of resources here significantly, but we're still way beyond what we need to be. So, Sharon and I, when I first moved in here, Sharon and I started plotting that we were going to do this project called Fossil Fuel Free by 2023, which has a nice ring to it, and I was totally up for it. But in hindsight, a few years down the track, I realized that Sharon, when she agreed to do that, she was completely in grief, grieving the loss of her husband in 2016. So it was too much, and we couldn't, it was never going to happen. It was a nice idea, a nice thought, but that's kind of what we need to be doing. We need to be getting off fossil fuels and in our households and as much as we can. And it's not really happening, and just switching to solar and wind is not getting off fossil fuels.
No, because it's that hope that if we just switch, we'll save the environment and we'll still be able to have all the electric lights and the warmth and all that.
It's not long-term thinking. That's still thinking the same way, which, I'm not saying we should be burning coal. I mean, that's horrific. But the answer is not to just switch to just exchange that for something else that's almost as destructive. The answer is to reduce consumption.
Yeah, to take what we need from the earth.
Yeah, live with a lot less and live in the way that an average person in, I don't know, some other place in the world might. Mm-hmm. There's a group called the 2000 Watt Society. I don't know if they're still active. I should look that up. The 2000 Watt Society, who have calculated that we all need to just only consume 2000 watts a day, and that would be sustainable. And I'm not very good with maths, and certainly not with wattage, but that's a lot less than most of us are consuming, including me probably.
Mm-hmm. And we are allowed to consume, right? I think that's an important thing to realise, that we are on the earth and we are going to produce waste and stuff. I remember I went to the Confest many years ago up in the Murray, and they had they just dug out toilets, pit toilets, and I was amazed at the amount of waste generated by just that one really small coming together of a bunch of human beings. Like the amount of waste is amazing, really. And I just mean bodily waste.
And we can deal with that waste in very, very different ways, depending on what we're thinking about. But that's an actual fantastic resource.
It is a resource.
I think that we need to consume for everyone's need, not everyone's greed, is the famous quote.
Let's leave it there, Joe. That's a nice pithy quote to end the show. You've been listening to Local Food Connections on 3CR, and today I've been speaking with Joe Nemeth about some of the practicalities of living without money. And again, we're at the end of it, what seems like a very short show, and it feels like I'd like to just keep talking to Joe for weeks and weeks, but go get on with other things.
It's really nice talking to you. I like talking about this stuff.
You can find out, or tell us again, because you're doing this partly as a check out what's possible type thing. So you want people to see what you're doing?
I mean, when I started off, I was blogging, and I was on media and trying to encourage people to do look at life differently. Now I'm just too busy trying to support my household and my community. I'm much more hands-on and localized in my opinion. But I do run a blog and social media under the tag Joe Low Impact.
Joe Low Impact.
So it's not Joe No Impact, it's Joe Low Impact.
Yes. There's nobody's no impact.
Yeah. So Joe Low Impact, so people can find me there if they want. And I keep intending to write more, but I just don't get around to it.
Yeah. Yeah. That's a whole topic there, I reckon. That's a whole. It takes a lot of work to produce food and to live without all the conveniences. So Oh, look, I could talk about that for another 2 hours. But anyway, can't do that. So until next week, love the land you're on, share your surplus and take care of each other. Remember, if you want to support independent media, you can become a 3CR subscriber. Stay tuned now to 3CR for more radical radio with Latin American Update. Bye for now. We've been looking up, we've been messing around, we've been freaking out, but it's time to get down, 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 cause we're made up of common ground, can't live without it, and it's time to get down, 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 down. You've been listening to a 3CR podcast produced in the studios of independent community radio station 3CR in Melbourne, Australia. For more information, go to allthews.3cr.org.au.